If you have your Bibles, I want you to turn with me this morning to the book of Hebrews, chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. Amen. Believe in God to move and minister this morning and continue with the theme. If everyone in this church was just like me, what kind of church would this church be? You know, if everybody really take that to heart, there'd be some changes taking place. Amen. Come on, church, smile. Some of y'all look at me like, are you trying to tell me, preacher? You figure it out. Look in the mirror and ask yourself, if everybody in the church was just like me, what kind of church would this church be? And then go from there. I got one man told me I need to quit saying it because it's making him change too much. Lord. I don't think he had that much changing to do, but I'm glad he is paying attention. Amen. Because if all of us will do it and do a little inner checking, we all find out that none of us have graduated. Amen. That's not the message today, but I'm headed that way. Glory. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 26. Whose voice then shook the earth, but now he hath promised, saying, yet once more, I shake not the earth only, but also the heaven. And this word, yet once more, signifieth the removing of those things that are shaken, as of those things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Wherefore we receive a kingdom which cannot be moved. Let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear, for our God is a consuming fire. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning, God, for your word. We ask, God, that you would reach down and touch this house, Lord, with the power, the grace, the glory of your Holy Ghost. Father, minister to us today. Touch us with your anointing, for it is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Reach over, shake your neighbor's hand, look them in the eye and say, hey, God wants to set you on fire. I want to talk to you this morning for a few moments on a subject I simply entitled, Changed by the Fire. Changed by the Fire. Proverbs chapter 30, verse 15. For there are three things that are never satisfied. Yea, but four things say not, it is enough. The grave, the barren womb, the earth that is not filled with water, and the fire that saith not, or it is enough. This means God's never finished with us. We never reach a point on this earth where God says, okay, that's enough. He's got all he needs. Everything's going good. But I want to tell you, every time he gets the opportunity, he puts us back in the fire, heats us up, and gets us ready to go again. And about time he thinks he got us just like we want us, he goes back and says, wait a minute, there's a little thing I need to work on. And he keeps finding those edges and perfecting and moving. Amen. And as long as we allow that fire to move in us, we grow in him. Could you say amen? God's determination of your life and mine is not just to torch us, but to consume us with his fire. God's not here just to heat us up. He wants to burn us up in his glory. Amen. He wants us to be like the bush in the wilderness, totally consumed yet not burned away. Amen. Come on, church, smile. Some of y'all look at me like, wait, he wants to turn us to ashes? No. He wants to consume us with a fire that burns from the top of our head to the bottom of our feet. It's like Jeremiah said, it's like a fire shut up in my bones that I cannot hold back anymore. I've got to let it go. And if we've ever needed anything in a church world, we need some fresh fire. We need some fresh passion. We need some fresh anointing of God. I mean, we live in a day where our preachers have become icy popsicles flipping out something they got out of the freezer. Lord. And our churches are going, yeah, I like that, because if there's no fire in the sermon, it ain't going to cut your heart. And we like to hear those things that tickle our ears. But I want to tell you something, church. I was sitting in the office a while ago and I reached over and grabbed a book. There was a man preaching a sermon in the late 1800s. And this is what he said. Where is that fire that so consumed the early church, that set them on fire, that made their religion a relationship, and made their love for God not a yoke but a pleasure? Where is that fire that consumed them to the uttermost part of their being? all their mind, their soul, their spirit? Where is that fire that made them decide God was the only way, the only truth, the only life? Where is that fire that once burned in us and made us think we needed more of God than we could ever have? Where is that fire that set upon us in the early days and put love in our heart like we never had before? For now we are cold and icy, and there is no way fire can be where coldness is. And we need to understand that while we sit in our icy igloos of religious atmosphere, the sunshine of God is falling all around us. And if we ever needed anything, we need that fire that hit that upper room and drove those people into a lost and dying world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. We need that fire that will ignite in us a fresh love of God and a power of his grace. We need the fire that lets us understand my God is a consuming fire, and he's satisfied with nothing less than total consumption of your life. Woo! By the way, that was a Baptist preacher. Hello? Don't look at me like that. There's a reason in the late 1800s they're still called Quakers and Shakers. Glory. In case you want to figure, we've got folks in the Church of God now that go, I just don't think that's necessary. I got news for you, church. Every time I've ever come in contact with fire, it put a little move in me. It inspired me. Come on, church. Fire will actually inspire you to do stuff you didn't think you could do. I remember one guy said he caught on fire, and he said, I bet I could have broke the 50-yard dash record trying to get to that water. Glory. Hello? I will never forget the day that the fire blew my eyebrows and eyelashes off. Somebody asked my brother-in-law, said, that really happened? He said, how was the guy through the broom? Fire will change you. Fire will inspire you. If we've ever needed anything, we need some fresh fire. We need the glory of God to come out and touch us. Listen, Hebrews chapter 1, verse 6, and again, when he bringeth in the first begotten into the world, he saith, and let all the angels of God worship him. And all the angels saith, who maketh the angel spirit, and his ministers a flame of fire? But unto the Son he saith, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever, a scepter of righteousness and a scepter of the kingdom. Amen. He said, hey, God is going to make you ministers of the flame. They're going to be ministers who are a flame of fire. Church, we need to get back to that place where we've got fire in us so that when we come in contact with people, they notice something different in our lives. They know there's something different about who we are and who we serve. And when we do that, we make a change in people's lives. 1 Peter chapter 4. Verse 10, and every man that received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as God, good stewards of the manifold grace of God. And if any man speak, let him speak in the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him minister it as the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever and ever. Amen. The Bible said we as people are stewards of the basic, the same thing. It means that we manage and oversee goods in others. We're responsible for distributing and serving the needs of others. Glory. Well, why'd you come to church? I come get me a blessing. Remember, I've told y'all that was the wrong thing. If all you come was to get a blessing for you, then you all tied up in you, and it ain't about you. It's about him, and when you get all about him, you get all about everybody else. It won't be about you. Take no thought what you're going to eat, what you're going to wear, how you're going to make it. Just sell out to God when you do. I've got a God who will provide your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Oh, but you don't understand, preacher, all my problems, if you would forget about your troubles and forget about your cares. Huh? Don't worry. Be happy. Glory. I'll match worries with any of y'all. Come on, church, smile. Do y'all have any clue what today is? It's y'all's problem, not mine. Y'all let me stay here 4 years today. Glory. Amen. Y'all gluttons for punishments, all I know. Glory. I got an amen on that. Y'all got some timely amens around here, I can tell you that. Glory. Now, seriously, Monday now, April 1st, was my official first day by appointment, but the 5th of April, which was the first Sunday, was the first time I preached here 4 years ago. And you know, church, let's face it, I broke my arm. I've had to have a stent put in my heart. I've had cancer. I mean, you know, I blew my knee out. That's not counting the little things that have happened. And y'all walk right. Hey, brother, you don't know my problem. I'm going to be like I done the guy the other day. Come up to me and said, I need help. Can you give me some money? I said, why? He said, I need some money. I said, you owe anybody? He said, no. I said, then I'm worse off than you. I'm in debt. Pay me. Lord. Smile, church. Look at me like that. Y'all know me. I gave him some money before it's over with, but it didn't give it to him in cash. I made him walk in the store and I bought him something to eat. I ain't giving him cash. I'm going to give him something he can't take back because I kept the receipt. Hello? But church, the reality is we need to become stewards of other people. That's where the church world's messed up. People don't care how much you know till they know how much you care. And that's why we do ministry. That's why we reach out to people, because you have to let people know, I care about your needs. I care about what's happening in your life. And let me tell you something, in a real quick way, if you're not real, they know it. It won't take them long to understand. You're telling them what they want to hear. But if the fire of God is in your soul, there will be a compassion in you to reach out to those that are around you and to give them the power and the grace and the glory of God. And church, if fire gets in your life, there is no way it will not change you. Could you say amen? Hallelujah. Fire has always been a symbol of divine presence, the power of God. Exodus chapter 40. For the cloud of the Lord was upon the tabernacle of day, and the fire was on it by night in the sight of all those in the house of Israel throughout all their journey. Amen. In other words, God's always been represented by fire. It was a bush burning that Moses saw and walked up to, and he was amazed the bush didn't burn. It just had fire on it. Why? Because that fire represented God. The fire in the altar represented the presence of God. Amen. The people would take their prayers and they'd put them in the laver and see their prayers being consumed by the presence of God. Amen. I said, preacher, what are you getting at? If God has always been represented by fire, then in our life it shouldn't be any different. Amen. We shouldn't walk around with cold, stale religion when we know there's a God that can stir up that gift that is in us and rekindle that fire that once burned in us. Amen. You know, church, we really too much today fulfill the scripture in the book of Revelation when he said, I have somewhat against you because you have left your first love. God's not the first love of our life anymore. We've got other things consuming us. But I want to tell you today, we need to let God become the consuming factor of our life again. We need to get caught up in him. Amen, church. I've said this 100 times. I'll say it 100 times more. I don't need healing. I need God. I don't need money. I need God. Money will fly away and healings only last for a while. But if I've got God on my side, it doesn't matter the outcome, because I know in him I live and move and have my being. And if I'm consumed by him, I've got the power, the energy to be an overcomer. Amen. Glory. Hallelujah. Amen. There are three folds of operation of the fire of God concerning our lives. First, there is the fire coming to you. Then there is the fire in you. And then there is the fire through you. Anyone can see a fire, but it's not the fire you see that changes you. You ever notice fire draw folks? You have a fire, folk gonna come see what it is. Son, you get you one going, get up on the skyline, there'll be people coming from everywhere. House next to us burned in Buell one night. Guy come run over and beat on the door. He was actually a ranger, said he saw it on the skyline, come hit the door for me to call the fire department. We called them, they showed up just in time to save the chimney. They're good about that. They saved 3 or 4 of them 1 year. Smile. We got out there and that house was burning, and there was people coming from down toward Elrod and Echo and places like that. They saw that fire and they said, oh, there's something burning. They just come out there because the fire was there. Let me tell you something, church. the real fire of God will draw people to the church. I mean, we can have all the growth programs we want. We can talk about how to build a church, all the programs to build a church. But if there's not something here that can consume the life of an individual and make them know that there is something that can change their day and their destiny, they're not coming back. They've had enough of this religiosity that runs around this world that says, I've got answers and they never get any. We need a fire of God to come into the house of the Lord that not only consumes us, but consumes everybody that sits on these pews and makes them understand there is a different way. There is a better way. What changed our life was not some fickle fella running his words and mouths out of his mouth. It was the anointing of God. The night I got saved, I don't remember a thing the preacher said, except I want everybody to come to the altar. And when I knelt in that altar, it was the fire of God that got in my life, that set me on fire and consumed me and burned out everything that was wrong in my life so that I could live in him and the power of his love. The fire of God is there to come to us. Amen. It's not what we say about God that changes lives. It's the quality and the quantity of the presence and the character of God that is manifested through us that changes our life. Well, I said, well, preacher, now you're going to get a little fanatical. Yep. Let me say it another way. You've got to be infected before you can infect somebody else. You know, people sit around there and they talk about all these diseases. You know, you heard about the bird flu. Oh, yeah, there's a recurrence of that somewhere. I saw it in the news the other day. I can't remember where it was at, but they've got people infected with a bird flu, and it's scaring everybody again because some bird may fly by and give you the flu. Glory. I can read all them articles. It don't bother me. But if you sit me down in a room of folks infected with that virus, I get a little itchy. Because I realize if they're infected, they can transfer that infection to me. But you know why most people aren't afraid to hang around Christians? You've got to be infected before you can infect them. And unless you're infected, they don't have to be worried. They can hear all your talk about what's going to happen and all your talk about the wonderful things that can take place in your life. But I want to tell you something, church. The world today don't need another song and dance. They don't need somebody to tickle their ears. They need somebody consumed with the fire of God and the anointing of God in their life to come into their life and shake that life up and put some light in a dark place and let know there is a God that no matter how bad you are can change your life and give you peace and joy like you've never had before. Oh, come on, church. Paul said it this way, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 4, and my speech and my preaching were not with enticing words of men's wisdom, but in the demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Isaiah chapter 4, when the Lord shall have washed away the filth of the daughters of Zion and shall have purged the blood of Jerusalem from the midst thereof by the spirit of judgment, by the spirit of burning, the Lord will create upon every dwelling place the Mount of Zion and upon her assemblies a cloud and a smoke by day and the shining of the flaming fire by night, for upon all the glory shall be a defense. God wants to give you the fire. Hello? Whew. But not only is there the fire coming to you, but listen to this. It's wonderful to see somebody who is on fire for God. It draws you and creates a hunger in you. But even if you don't see that in an earthen vessel, you can see it in the Word. So what are you talking about? It's great to see somebody get on fire for God. Have you ever noticed you get people really get on fire for God, they'll inspire somebody else. Had this fella stop me one time at Buell, told me, he said, son, you're doing good, but it won't be long you'll settle down like the rest of us. I know I probably shouldn't have done it, but y'all got to know I pretty much say what's on my mind. I run by him one night, and I stopped, and I said, hey, I ever get cold as you are, would you shoot me and put me out of my misery? Glory. Come on, church. This fella talked about love God, and he never moved. He slept some. I broke him from that when I was preaching. He was over there asleep one night, and I said, "Everybody going to hell, say amen." He said, "Amen." Everybody in the church said, after church, he said, "I can't believe you did that to me." I said, "I can't believe you went to sleep while I was preaching." For some reason, he didn't go to sleep anymore. See, some of y'all going, "I preach, that didn't happen." Did that happen, Frida? Glory. I helped with his wife's funeral. I was there at his funeral. And as far as I know, when he died, he was as good a friend as I had in the Buell Church of God. But he knew I didn't cut him no slack. Hello? Glory. Smile at me. Some of y'all are like, "What you gonna do to me?" Think about it. Glory. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. "But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of power may be of God and not of us. For we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We're perplexed, but not despaired. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about the body of the dying of the Lord Jesus, and the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh." Did you hear what they said? "I have this treasure." What treasure? The anointing of God that is in this earthen body. Amen. Why is that? Because God wants to give me the power to be an overcomer. That's why, even though I am perplexed, I don't give up. Even though I'm knocked down, I don't quit. Even though everything turns upside down, there's something inside of me said, "Wait a minute, all things work together for the good of those who love the Lord, who are called according to his purpose." And if I've caught in the fire, it'll change my thinking to the point I realize it doesn't matter what the world has to say. My God is greater than anything that could come against me. Mm. But I notice this, there's also the fire in you, purging, cleansing, sanctifying, burning up the clutter, the excess, the selfishness, the sin, the habits, the addictions, the attitude. Whew. "Hell, preacher, I'm just not going to do that no more." That's wonderful. But you know, New Year's resolutions usually don't make it past January. You know, you can't cleanse yourself of sin by just simply saying, "I ain't gonna sin no more." You can't stop habits you've been doing all your life because you decide you're gonna slow down and cut back and eventually quit. You either do a 180 and go in the other direction, or they're going to keep consuming you. One man said sin circulates in the body like the blood does. But sin pervades your will. There are some things you can't get rid of because you decide you ain't going to do them no more. Some thoughts, some carnalities in your life that you've put in your life that have become habit to you, you don't get rid of because you decide you're going to quit. But it's like J.H. Jowett said in one of his sermons one time, you can no more wash yourself off with water and cleanse yourself of skin cancer. Amen. And man cannot cleanse himself of sin simply by washing the outside and dressing it up to make it look good. But it takes the inner work of the power of God, the penetrating power of the Holy Spirit, the fire of God to come into a man's life and to burn out the dross and to cleanse him and purify him and sanctify him. It is the fire of God that changes our thinking and moves us in a different direction. And we hear the fulfillment of the word, "Old things are passed away, all things have now become new." And we understand what Paul was telling the church at Rome when he said, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, you present yourself a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, this being your reasonable service. But be not conformed, but be you transformed." How? By the renewing of your mind. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. The fire in me changes the way I think, changes the desires of my heart. Glory. Listen, the 12th verse of the 4th chapter, 2 Corinthians, "So the death worketh in us, but life in you. For we, having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believe, and therefore have I spoken, and also believe, and therefore speak, knowing that which raised up Lord Jesus shall raise us up also by Jesus, and shall present us with you. For things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many rebound to the glory of God, for which cause we faint not. But though our inward man perish, though our outward man perish, the inward man is renewed day by day. for our light afflictions, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a more far and exceeding eternal weight of glory. For while we look at the things which are seen, but look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. He said, we don't just look at what the world says. We wait to hear what God has to say. We don't just look at what it is. We believe a God who can make something different. Come on, church. Smile. You know what's wrong with the church? We started focusing on what we can see instead of what we can't see. And what we see is going to blow up and go away. We're so fixated on stuff. Somebody buys a new car, we got to have one better. Somebody gets a new suit, we got to have one better. Somebody changes the way they dress, everybody going to change the way they dress. Try to keep up with the style. I had a preacher the other day was talking about, man, I had a breakthrough at my church. And I thought, boy, he had somebody saved somebody. He said, the other Sunday night, I preached in blue jeans. I mean, we're in bad shape when having a breakthrough means I changed the pants I wore while I was preaching. Glory. I mean, that's really crying for a breakthrough. Breakthroughs when you see somebody saved, somebody delivered, somebody touched, somebody's life changed. And the reason we're not seeing that happen is we're too busy focusing on what exists instead of focusing on what doesn't exist. My Bible tells me, he said, Thomas, you have seen and therefore you believe, but blessed are they who have not yet seen but still believe. I have never laid an eye on the real Jesus Christ, but I know that he lives and I know he is my Redeemer and I know that he's coming back one day for me, and because of that, I know in him I can live and believe and have power to be an overcomer. And it is inspired by the change that comes in my life. Amen. Notice what's happened when you get the fire in you. Mark 16:20, and they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. Whew. You get the fire in you, folk will know it because things happen. I was at the hospital the other day. I was visiting with my father-in-law and my mother-in-law, and we got to talking about old brother Vernon Clemens. Now, y'all would have never met Vernon Clemens. He was a Northport man. Don't know that he ever got out of Northport. He was 96 years old, I think, when he finally passed away, or a little bit older. Now, I remember when I first went to Northport, he called one day and told Brother Hall, he said, my bees is dying. I need you to bring some of them young fellas out here and pray for my bees. I really found out the meaning of watch and pray. We was out there in them beehives, and I was doing two things, making nobody saw me. I felt stupid in that field praying over beehives. But I was also watching for them bees coming out of that hive. They're not real happy about you fooling with their beehives. But somebody had poisoned their fields, and his bees were dying, and he supplemented his income off the honey he got out of them boxes. And he had 1/3 of his bees when we prayed for him. Now, what really made me feel bad was when I made 3 trips back to Walmart or wherever that place was. What Walmart at the time, it was Woolco or something. But I had to make 3 trips back to buy mason jars because he got that much more honey out of them boxes with 1/3 of the bees because he believed God could do it. Come on, church. Amen. Brother Vernon Clemens was a man of God, and everybody knew it. At 90-something years old, he preached in 3 nursing homes and on a street corner wherever he could find people to listen. Glory. He was a funny old gentleman. He is real nice. He never would shout on nobody. He'd get up and say, excuse me, excuse me, excuse me. He'd get to the end of that row. Wow! Here you go. He'd tie it around that church. He'd get back up and he'd run up and go, excuse me, excuse me. He'd go over and sit down like nothing happened. We had evangelists one night, looked over Brother Hall, he said, somebody ought to set that fella down. Brother Hall said, you do it. Church had 2 aisles going down the side in the old church, and there was 2 back doors that went out in the foyer, and Brother Clemens took off down through and went out them 2 doors. That went to that evangelist after him. A few minutes, evangelist come back through the door. He was doing like this, and Brother Clemens was behind him, patting him on the head, walking him down the aisle. He come walking back up there, and he looked at Brother Hall, and he said, man, he's real. Glory. He said, I cleared that door. He hit me and said, I had to get up to get back in the building. He said, not me, slap out with the first lick. Glory. He had the fire in him. Signs followed. When he prayed for people, things happened. I carried him to the church, to the hospital. Brother Hall was having throat surgery. I carried him with me to go pray for Brother Hall. We went in the room. He got over there and he started to pray. And they were fixing to take Brother Hall for some kind of test. He had cancer in his throat. And they got ready to take him out. And he said, hey, looked at that orderly. He said, I didn't come to say bye. Come pray for him. Now you stand over and get quiet while I pray for this fella. And he was just normal Brother Vernon. He said, hallelujah. And he popped him and he got to dancing on the side of that bed, just bouncing while he's praying for him. I looked up and the door closed. Of course, that dude got over in the corner and done like this. While we was praying, he left the room. Some of the other men of the church was there, and I was going to stay with Sister Hall. And they took the men and they took Brother Clements back to the church. And I was standing there with Sister Hall, and all of a sudden this guy walks up and he stuck his head back in the door. He said, that sanctified fella out of here yet? We said, yeah, he gone. So he got Brother Hall and left with him. A couple of days later, we go back to the hospital. We're walking down the hall. Here comes the orderly searching Brother Clements out. He stopped him. He said, brother, this is my mama's name. She lived down in Utah. She's sitting in bed. You ain't got to go to Utah. You just pray. I felt that stuff the other day. So you get a hold of my mama and pray for her. Amen. You say, preacher, what are you getting at? They didn't think he was crazy. They wanted them to pray for their family because there was something in him. There were signs following him. Church, that's what the world needs to see in us, an anointing that changes us, that has changed them. Oh, listen, but then there's the fire going through you. Amen. What's the bad thing about this thing? It just takes off. You bump it. You become that cleansed and purified vessel that the fire can flow through to others. Notice what they said about the men of Acts. Now, church, notice this. The original group of disciples were not theologians. You had a doctor who probably had a pretty good degree. You had a money changer that probably knew math. Rest of them were just fishermen, normal, common, everyday people. The first theologian in the church was Paul. But now notice what it said of these men. When they heard these things, they were cutting their heart and gnashed on him with their teeth. That was Stephen. He's not a theologian, but he's talking to them about Christ, and the anointing of God runs out of him into them, and it hit them so hard they felt like they couldn't handle it, and they killed him. You said, well, I don't want to kill me. The point was his words had fire in them. When he spoke, they felt it. Come on, church. There are a good number of people who don't mind being touched by the fire as long as it's containable, or better said, controllable, as long as they can determine how much heat and how much intensity they have to endure. I'm not talking about you having control. I'm talking about you getting dumped in the furnace of God's glory and having to depend on him to get you out. Amen. God will never be satisfied just to touch you. He wants to consume you. Mark 12:30, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. What did the Bible say about a double-minded man? He ain't good for nothing. You just said he's not stable in all his ways, but I just put it in modern terms. A double-minded man ain't good for nothing. He's not good for the church. He's not good outside the church. Because in the church, he's too wild. He don't really want to serve God. He's just in church. But outside, he feels pressure to try to be religious. And then he quotes things that ain't in Scripture. Because he's trying to impress. And he'll give you definitions that nobody could ever find. I had a pastor one time. He was big on these big words. He'd get out there and get them young preachers around. He'd say, now, in the Greek, this is what this is. And you've got to be able to enunciate the word so you'll know where it came from and how it got there and break it down so you can pull it apart. And I'm sitting there, and most of what he said was just hot air. So I walked up to him. I said, man, I need some help. I got a word I've been trying to say. He said, okay. I said, it's B-A-S-E-B-A-L-L. He said, well, that's not a problem. It's Basebel. I said, really? We call that baseball in Bew. Glory. Oh, he got mad. Come on, church, smiles. When the real fire gets in you, it'll change you. Listen, Peter denied Christ, wept bitterly. You ever saw what happened to him after he got hit with a fire in the upper room? He walks out on the balcony where everybody can see him and said, this same Jesus whom you have crucified is coming. And 3,000 souls got saved. He throws the net out again, gets 5,000. Then he becomes a great firebrand for God, preaching the gospel. What happened to that guy? I mean, let's face it. We make money off a guy named Doubting Thomas. And the truth is, he wasn't Doubting Thomas. He simply asked for the same privilege the others had. He wasn't in the room when Christ came walking through the wall. And he said, till I see him for myself, I'm going to be like y'all. And next thing you know, Christ shows up in the building and said, Thomas, look, here I am. And he said, oh, I believe. He said, oh, but you believe because you saw. But blessed are those that are going to believe that they've never seen. And you know what? Thomas left there and went across this world preaching and was changing so many Hindus into the Christian religion that a priest speared him with a spear and put him out of his misery and sent him on to be with glory. You say, preacher, what are you talking about? These men's lives were changed. Their ties came upside down. But they got a hold to the fire of God. Paul was a man persecuting the church. In his own words, he said, remember my conversations in times past, how I wasted the church of God. I tried to kill every Christian. He said, and then I run into the man. And suddenly I got consumed by the fire of his grace. And now I don't come to you with the enticing words I used to use to imprint men. I come in the demonstration, the operation of the Spirit of God. My life is totally changed. Now those that I persecuted, I now reach out to you to let you know that God is real. Could you say amen? Hallelujah. Amen. What did it say about these men after the fire hit them? These are they that have turned the world upside down. That's what we need to happen in our community. And in our lives, we need to get a fire of God in us that'll help us turn the world upside down. Could you say amen? You say, preacher, what are you talking about? John said in Matthew 3 and 11, I indeed baptize thee water where is repentance, but there comes one after me whose shoes I'm not worthy to unlatch. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Let me tell you something, church. The one thing about fire is, if you get it going just right, you can't really control it. Hello? You stoke it up just right, best thing to do is just stand back and let it burn down. Throw some more in there if you want to, but if you keep throwing fuel in there, as long as there's fuel, it's going to keep burning. But if you don't keep it stirred up, it's like an old coal fire that the ashes have burned out. You've got to clean it all out and start all over again. We need to stoke the fire every once in a while. Paul refers to rekindling the flames. I never forget, and I got saved. Y'all got to understand something, church. Religion was the last thing on my mind before I got right. I tried a lot of them, but I wasn't religious. I'm working at a night factory running yarn, and most of the folks down there knew that I wasn't a religious person. And I got saved. And I'm still working at that place, but things are changing. I got my hair cut so short nobody in church knew who I was. Seriously, they come walking in. Where's Ken? We got to get him. We can't let him get away. Glory. And I'm sitting over going. I mean, my hair wasn't as about as long as it is now, maybe shorter. I just had some on top. But it went from down my back to that. I had a Fu Manchu mustache the night I got saved, but I had some more hair on my face and my head, so I shaved. I went to work, my boss come walking up, and he goes, wow, man, did you get some bad dope? I mean, he thought I freaked out on something and shaved my head. Had one guy talking to me, you ain't gotten one of them religious cults, have you? And I was dodging these people. I didn't want to tell them what happened to me. I didn't know there was a Christian anywhere in that plant. Never heard one of them witness to me. I got filled with the Holy Ghost. March 3rd, Cody Church of God. I got back to Buell and made it to work. And for the first time since I saved, I was late. Now, before I got saved, I was late every night. I go walking in. My boss is standing there, and he says, "Yeah, I checked you in. You got something for me?" I said, "Yeah, man, God loves you." He said, "What?" He said, "Where you been?" I said, "Church." He says, "That new bar?" I said, "No, man, it's the house of God." He said, "Go on to work, you idiot." I go on in. 3 o'clock in the morning, I take break. I go to break room. Any of y'all ever work in a factory? Did you ever go to the break room? You got 20, 25 minutes, and you got an hour of food, 2 hours of talking. You got to get it all in that 25 minutes. And you're there. And we got 40, 50 folks in that break room. They're all trying to get it done at once, and ain't nobody hearing a whole lot of nothing. And I'm sitting in the corner minding my own business, drinking some milk. And this dude walked through the door and said, "Hey, man, you've been acting weird lately." I said, "It's okay, I'm all right." He said, "We're going to the lake tomorrow. We're going to celebrate your birthday. You going?" I said, "No, I'm not going." He said, "We got some grass." We ain't talking about centipede. I looked at him, I said, "I'm not going. My birthday was last month." Here's where I needed to control the fire. Something ignited it. It got to burning, and I could feel it, and I'm doing my best to hold it back. He said, "Why can't you go?" And I said, "I got saved." And it sounded like it did in here just then. I mean, they all quit slurping and talking at the same time, and it just echoed off the walls, and they're all looking at me like, "Huh?" He said, "You got saved. That ain't no problem. I'm buying the dope. I'm going. I'm a Christian." I needed the fire shut down, because the next thing out of my mouth was not what he wanted to hear. I said, "You ain't got what I got." He spun me around, said, "What you got, big boy?" He done reached over into his pouch and pulled out that little knife we used to skin them rolls of yarn with. I mean, them things were sharp. And I'm standing there and I'm thinking, he's fixing to take my shirt off of me, or worse. Because he's mad now because I done copped his religion. I looked at him sort of funny and I said, "I got the Holy Ghost." And everybody in that place is going, like some of y'all. I don't know why a Pentecostal preacher blows your mind admitting he's got the Holy Ghost. But I got some of you going, "Wow." I said, "I got the Holy Ghost." He said, "What's that?" I'm trying to get out the door. I don't want to tell nobody what happened. I got no idea. But Brother Bishop sitting over in the back corner, minding his own business, eating his sandwich. And about that time, the bag went one way. Samuel went the other way. He jumps right up in the middle of the table and said, "Whoa, tell him, boy, I feel it over here." Brother Bishop pastored the Glorious Overcoming Holiness Church of West End, Alabama. He worked one night in 20 years, and he transferred that night because he had something he had to do the next day, and he was working that night, and he just happened to be there at just the right time. And son, you ever seen a fire and you pour gas on it? That's technically what happened to me. I reached down, instead of pushing the bar, I pulled it up and locked the door. I got in there and I started telling about what God done for me, how he had delivered me from the drugs and alcohol, and they're all sitting there and they know something's been going on for a month. They haven't seen me drunk, they hadn't seen me doing stuff, and they're trying to figure out what's going on. Now I'm telling them what's going on. I said, "Let me tell you, it's greater than anything that ever happened to me, and I'm higher than I've ever been in my life. And the great thing is, I'm going to wake up in the morning and I'm not going to feel bad about it." Hallelujah. Amen. You know, that night we had 3 people got saved while we was in that break room. Amen. Brother John come up there and we started praying for him. Boss was there beating on the door, and Brother John going, "We'll be out, we'll be out." We get through, he said, "Both y'all in my office." I'm thinking, oh, man, I need this job. We go walking in the office, and we're standing there, and Brother John looks at me. He said, I take care of this boy. He said, wisdom will prevail. Man walked in. He said, all right, guys, sit down. Explain to me something. Brother John said, first of all, is this a religious thing or is it a race thing? Because I need to know what to tell my lawyer. Boss looked up. He said, y'all go to work. Quit causing me problems. When I know Brother John said, works every time. Lord, amen. He said, preacher, what are you talking about? Church, we need to lose it every once in a while under the anointing of God. Don't go crazy, but let the anointing push you to do things you never thought you'd do before, and it'll happen. Listen, those men in that upper room had no intentions of running outside. These are the same guys that locked themselves up and hid until the anointing hit them, and then they bust out into the world letting them know there is a God, there is a power, there is an anointing, and we've got a world that needs to hear that message today. The devil needs to know Alabaster's fixing to get taken over by a fire that's going to stand with me all over the house. Glory. Father, we thank you today for your love, for your mercy. We ask, God, that you would touch us with your anointing. Master, in Jesus' name, move on us, Lord. In Jesus' name. Oh, God, consume us with your presence, with your power, with your glory. Holy, holy, holy God.